Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside Mike Palm. What a terrific night of college basketball last night. We'll get into that. We'll also get into the NBA. Some news coming out of Los Angeles. LeBron James is actually going to sit out a game. First time all season, Mike, he is sitting out. We'll get into a little bit of what happened last night with the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns, but we have to start in college basketball. Two games on paper that were supposed to be outstanding. The first one absolutely delivered. Number three, Baylor, goes on the road, gets an overtime win against West Virginia. I thought this may have been the best college basketball game of the season, and I thought up until that point, Michigan-Ohio State was. But now when you look at it, what a win by Baylor.
It rivaled. We've had some great college basketball, Amal. Michigan-Ohio State, yesterday Baylor and West Virginia, and both Bedlam games.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
We've been treated to in the last 11 days or so. I know West Virginia got that seven-point lead in the second half. They went on that run, and I thought maybe that was going to be the impetus to put them over the top. But Baylor came right back, knocked down shots on the road, give them full credit, coming off that loss at Phog Allen.
How about, I don't know if you saw the end of the first half of the Baylor game. West Virginia's down one. They're inbounding the ball from underneath their own basket. They throw it the length of the floor. Nobody touches it. Baylor hits a three-pointer at the end of the first half, and they get the cover on the first half number.
Yeah, it's a horrific beat if you had West Virginia first half.
It really is. I mean, some of these plays, sometimes you sit there and say, what are these coaches doing? You got to tell the guy, hey, look, you're probably not going to hit a 50-footer. Let's just inbound the ball so we don't concede points the other way.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's too dangerous.
Pathetic. How about the Fighting Illini last night? In my opinion, probably the best win by any team in college basketball this year. You're without your best player in Ayo Dosunmu. You go on the road without a first-team All-American, a guy who's going to leave early. Remember, he celebrated senior day even though he's only a junior. You go win this game. You don't win this game. You win by 23 at Chrysler.
Yeah, you established a lead in the first half, and then you just kept expanding it in the second half. What a defensive effort by Illinois. They absolutely smothered Michigan. We talked about Michigan having the best field goal percentage defense in the country. It was Illinois that turned the tables on them, and without their best player.
It was unbelievable. We saw the line go to 9, and there was never a chance. This was a wire-to-wire job if you had the Fighting Illini in terms of covering this number. How about the money line at plus 350?
Yeah, well, they held Michigan. What did Michigan have? 12 points in the first 10 minutes of the game. I mean, you knew there was trouble there with Michigan. But think about this. We talked about it yesterday, 19-1, 20-1 on the Illini to win the tournament. They showed signs of life here.
Well, I think this team is going to be very dangerous. I mean, you think about it. You get your best player back. You have the confidence now of everyone else on this team. And Trent Frazier, who's been in his fourth year there in Champaign, feels like he's been there about 9 years, has been missing in action the last year and a half, but really has been stepping up of late. This team has played well. Coburn coming along obviously plays well. This team is going to be dangerous, and you mentioned it yesterday. I was not in line with you with this Fighting Illini team, but I think you have to reevaluate, at least from my perspective, on what Underwood's team is doing.
I still think Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten,
sure.
And if they played this game, you know, 10 times as Michigan wins 7 or 6, maybe, you know, you know what I mean? Because they'll be more consistent. Illinois will be up and down a little bit too much.
Yeah, but you got to give them credit, the job that they did in this game. I thought Texas up until this point, maybe halfway through the year, had the best road win, winning by 25 at the Fog. But to win by 23 at Chrysler, to me, was absolutely outstanding.
And their fourth game in 8 days, and off the road win in Wisconsin.
And that was not an easy one either. That one, remember, that went down to the end. They almost found a way to blow that one. Speaking of Wisconsin last night, I thought this was a tough loss for the Badgers. They needed this game. They lose at Mackey, 73-69. This Purdue team, I'm not going to sit there and say they resemble Minnesota when they're at home, but they are different, home and away. And once again, they get the cover here. Line was at 1.5, closes at 2. Purdue wins this one, 73-69, goes over the total of 128.5.
I keep thinking about, the Big Ten here. And good call. You called Purdue here in this spot, and I know you played them on a ticket on the money line. How many is the Big Ten going to get in? These Indiana's not a tournament team.
Oh, they're NIT-bound if they're lucky.
Okay. Minnesota's not a tournament team.
Correct.
I think you're 7, maybe 8 out of the Big Ten.
Well, you know, I'm looking at look, Wisconsin's going to get in. Purdue's going to get in. Maryland's going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and, of course, Illinois.
You think Michigan State still?
I'm telling you right now, Sparty's getting in.
Okay.
Sparty's going to get in. That's going to be 8 teams. I think it's going to be a dangerous league. And then I didn't even mention Iowa. The Hawkeyes obviously are going to get in there. They're playing their best basketball as we get towards the end of the season. By the way, one team I think is now on the outside looking in. They're going to have to win their conference tournament aside from Kentucky are the Duke Blue Devils, losing last night in Atlanta against your favorite coach, Josh Pastner.
Well, they almost blew that game. They had a 6-point lead in the ball with 15 seconds and gave Duke a chance, a shot to tie the game. Impossible, Pastner. Impossible.
That's Josh Pastner for you. That's what they do. I mean, you got a great free throw shooter in Alvarado. You got to be able to close out these games. It's unbelievable how many times they play close games when they've had leads. We saw it against Syracuse last week. We'll see what this team is able to do going forward, but they're going to be dangerous in certain spots in the ACC. To me, Duke, they're going to have to win the ACC tournament. They've got a tough game Saturday night at the Dean Dome. It will not be easy to win on the road there at Chapel Hill. When we come back on the other side, we'll get into more college hoops and the NBA. Welcome into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside Mike Palm. We'll get into a lot of NBA and college basketball today. Also, we'll break down the ACC tournament coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll get into that, look at some teams that are potentially viable candidates to win that tournament there, Mike. But to me, let's start with the big news yesterday in college basketball, the Fighting Illini. I go on the road, get that win comfortably against Michigan.
They've certainly set themselves up for one seed now. And I think, Amal, that the ones are pretty much taken, unless somebody loses like two or three games down the stretch here. I mean, Gonzaga obviously is going to be the top overall seed. Baylor with the big bounce-back performance, a top 10 win on the road yesterday in a great game at West Virginia. Michigan with only two losses on the year, their first home loss, and now Illinois playing there. When you look at that next set of teams, the Ohio State, Iowa, Villanova, West Virginia, with the I just think there's some separation here where we look like we have our four number one seeds settled.
I would agree with you. I think yesterday Baylor cemented their one seed. They were going to be a one seed regardless, yeah. But I thought if they got tripped up there and then they lose a couple of other games along the way, potentially their final game of the regular season and the Big 12 tournament, they could drop. But I think Baylor's now officially going to be a one seed. I think you're looking at Michigan as a one seed, and of course Gonzaga going to be the number one overall seed. And with that being said, I think the Fighting Illini have really staked their claim as the fourth number one.
Yeah, and there's another team close to Indianapolis area, right? Illinois, Champaign, not that far of a trip. Michigan, yeah. Not to Ohio State. All those Big Ten teams have been close to home the whole tournament.
Well, they should do well. You're going to have potentially eight teams from that league getting into the tournament. You talk about potential number one seeds, and I think one team that we can remove from that equation are the Villanova Wildcats. They had a bad loss the other day against Butler on the road. They were laying 11 to 12 points at Hinkle. They get beat outright. Now they host Creighton in a critical matchup in the Big East. This one is going to determine, Mike, who's going to be the number one overall seed when they go to MSG.
Yeah, this is a revenge game for Villanova. Yeah. Creighton took care of business, double-digit win in Omaha just a couple weeks ago. So there's the revenge angle that you like here as they come back east tonight.
Well, the reason I'm smiling is I thought that line was wrong when they went to Omaha the first time around. I didn't understand why Creighton was a two-point home dog in that particular spot. And now, all of a sudden, you have an opportunity with Villanova here catching four and a half. I think the number should be a little bit higher, probably just simply based on what the previous line was. Now you come back to Finnernan Pavilion, and you've got a team that's only adjusted 2.5 points to where they were on the road. With all that being said, I love Nova in this spot because they're coming off the loss. I'm not thrilled about laying 4.5 here, Mike, but I think you have to look at taking Villanova. I think we'll see a great defensive effort out of Jay Wright's team. That's the one thing that they always kind of can hang their hat on. We know they can shoot the ball from the perimeter, but in case they're unable to do that, defensively they'll be engaged.
They also take care of the ball. Only 9.2 yeah. turnovers per game, third best in the country. I look at the total here. I lean over. You know, Creighton puts up a lot of points. They scored 156 in that game, and it wasn't because they were fouling down 20 at the end. So I would lean over in this matchup. I'm 4.5 is too many for me.
I hear what you're saying. I actually like the other side. I like the under on this one, and simply because I think Villanova is going to play this game and force Creighton into half court. You know, I thought I saw the best blueprint all season long from Mark Turgeon's team against Michigan State on how to avoid fast break offense. Just don't try an offensive rebound and just try and score when you have the ball. They only had two OBs. And I think if you're Villanova, as long as you don't allow Creighton to get out and run, I think you could turn this into a half-court game, and it's going to really come down to me, how well the Blue Jays shoot the basketball in this matchup.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult spot here. The 4.5 is probably the right number, and that's why I don't think there's any value in it. Let's turn to two teams that are headed sort of in opposite directions here, with Missouri traveling down to Florida to take on mid-major Mike White's team. Florida has played well, victories at Auburn, a victory at Rupp, and now they're laying 4.5 at home tonight against this Missouri team that has really struggled as of late.
Well, you know, you look at this Tigers team, they've lost 4 out of 5. Now you go on the road, you're facing a team in Florida. I think they're probably peaking at the right time. You talked about it. You like them going into Rupp. They get the win outright there. Now you've got another opportunity to bounce back with them at home. I think in the O-Dome, it's going to make a difference. I think they're going to be really dangerous in this particular spot. I like Florida to win this game. Line down to 4 now. I wouldn't be overly concerned about laying it here. I think the Gators have a great opportunity to be able to cover this number. I think they're a very dangerous team. And I just said, I think the confidence and the way they're playing, it's just peaking at the right time, and I think Missouri's going in the opposite direction.
I do. I like Florida in this spot, yeah. And I will lay the 4 in this. I might wait a little bit and see if this line comes down to 3.5 as it's moved from 4.5 to 4. But I do like Florida, and I think they're a clear winner tonight.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're going to win this game outright. If you're a moneyline parlay bettor, I think Florida here with someone else, kind of like we talked about last night with Sparty at home against Indiana, this is a similar setup for me in this matchup. I think it kind of resembles that matchup we saw last night.
Missouri's only win in the last 5 is at South Carolina, where that team is just so god-awful at home, which you know.
Yeah, I'm so happy you could bring that point up. Last night, Frank Martin's team, Desi Sills in the first half goes 4 for 4 from the three-point line. Moses Moody was on fire, 3 for 6. They couldn't stop anybody from beyond the arc. Arkansas 10 for 20 in the first half from downtown in that one. Really impressive job by that team going on the road. I just thought they're not as effective away from Bud Walton. They proved me wrong. It was a perfect tonic of coming off in that second half against LSU and then playing South Carolina. The perfect tonic for them.
Top 3 teams in the Pac-12 are in action tonight, yeah. Amal. And let's start up with the matchup in Eugene where UCLA travels north to take on Oregon. Oregon's won 4 in a row at home. This game's been postponed 3 times.
Yes, exactly.
This is the 4th time's the charm here and the chance to play this game. Oregon laying 4 tonight. 133.5 is your total. Oregon 12-4 in the league. UCLA actually right now sitting on top of the league at 13-4 for win percentage.
Well, I'll tell you what. USC right now is just absolutely in a tailspin. We'll get to them in just a minute. But, Mike, to me, I like Oregon here and the number creeping up at 4.5. I'm not surprised simply because I think Oregon at home starting to play well overall. They had a quality win against Arizona. Duarte's back. Figueroa's back. They're healthy in this lineup. I think that makes a huge difference. Will Richardson is back in the lineup as well. I like Oregon here. I think they win this game. I'm not thrilled about laying 4.5, but to me, this is the perfect two-team money liner, Florida Gators and Oregon Ducks. I don't think either team's losing on their home floor tonight.
How about Villanova? Would you throw them in as a third team in that money line parlay?
So here's my feeling on Villanova. I think Villanova wins the game they cover. I think if they're in a situation where they're not going to cover, they're going to lose the game potentially. I think they're a good basketball team. I'm not as high on them. The fact that Creighton can make shots, to me, makes them a dangerous team against this opponent. I just think UCLA has kind of been toiling in mediocrity the last several games. You know, they've been inconsistent. You need to see more out of them. Really flat. They played particularly flat at Colorado. So I want to see them, how they perform on the road here. But I like the Ducks in this spot.
You mentioned USC and in the tailspin. We've talked about the last 2 weeks, USC being the best team in the Pac-12. USC being the team that we thought had the best chance to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They find themselves now 13-5 and in third place in the Pac-12 tonight as they host Stanford, who's really had an up-and-down season. You talk about a team that's inconsistent. The Cardinal are that.
Well, you know, Zaire Williams, remember, he took time away for a personal issue. I think there was a death in the family. Dejon Davis has been injured at time. Bryce Wills has been injured as well. So they're finally getting healthy, but now you're getting 7.5. This Trojans team on a losing streak, this is going to be a tough spot here for Stanford going on the road. I think this is a game that USC, if they can get DeSilva into some foul trouble, they got a great opportunity to run away and hide in this game. They should be able to dominate this matchup against Stanford, in my opinion.
They won by 6 at Maples earlier in the year. So the number comes back 7.5, just off of that winning margin. All right, let's turn our attention to the NBA. I thought an impressive victory by the Phoenix Suns last night over the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Lakers would get that win at home, laying 1.5 in that one, but it was all Phoenix, and this team has been playing well. Mike, I thought they were doing well because they were doing it at home, but to go on the road against the Lakers team, who right now has some serious question marks until AD gets back in the lineup.
Yeah. We saw the Knicks favorite on the road last night in San Antonio was never a game.
Well, we talked about it. We said, how are the Knicks a favorite in this particular spot? And I think they were a 1-point favorite at Detroit as well, right? You've got a San Antonio team. Yeah, I know they were without Rudy Gay. LaMarcus Aldridge was not in the lineup. I still thought it was an overreaction on the line. They still have talent on that team. And even though I think the Spurs coming into that game were either 9-8 or 8-9 at home.
8-9.
Yeah, and now they're 9-9. They easily get the win.
I tell you, Amal, it's early. It's only the 6th week of the show. When we think the wrong team's favored, we've been pretty accurate with these games.
Well, I think that's a great way to bet. I have a friend of mine. He does that all the time. What he does is he looks at the line. He says if he thinks that it's not about the number being off in terms of the spread, but when you have a wrong team favorite, we talked about it with Atlanta and Boston when they were in Atlanta in some of the college games.
St. Bonaventure.
It's exactly VCU in that one. I know Highlands was out in that one, and people were saying, well, I'm like, he's not worth 3.5 points. And we saw it at home. VCU and Richmond wins that basketball game. To me, though, Mike, you got to look at some of these teams at home. And last night, perfect example, we saw it with the San Antonio Spurs getting the win and the outright cover.
All right, we have a great lineup again tonight in the NBA on a Wednesday. Let's talk about some of the top games. The Utah Jazz take on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia tonight. Jazz on still on this road trip away from home, off the loss in New Orleans where they attempted, 30-something three-point attempts. Remember, they played Philadelphia in the last game of the 76ers road trip, right? When they had no legs left. Beat them 134-123. That was the game Jordan Clarkson had 40. Well, the return match tonight, Harris still out for the 76ers, who find themselves catching 3.5 at home here against Utah. Total 229.5.
Yeah, he's now officially listed as questionable, okay. So he might go, but still, I don't know if he's going to play or not. You know, Mike, I took the under in this matchup last time when these two teams played, and I got absolutely burned on this one. I'm going to stay away from this one, but I got no qualms if people are saying they like Utah here despite their revenge for the 76ers. I think this Utah team is tough. I like them off that loss in New Orleans. A good team generally finds a way to bounce back, and I think this is a good opportunity for them against this Philly team.
Philly's been very good at home, 15-3, which makes me shy away from this game. You were right about betting that NBA under last night.
Milwaukee and the Denver Nuggets game, because, you know, when you look at the first game, I think they got to like 236. But it was just too proficient shooting. And to me, I thought they would show some regression. We saw that last night.
All right, James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets travel to play his former team in Houston tonight in the Rockets. The Rockets have lost them all, 12 in a row. The average score of those 12 games is 119-100. They're losing by 20 a game, average, over 12 games. No Durant again tonight. We might see Kyrie with the beard. They're going to lay 9.5 on the road here, 228.5. This total keeps going up.
I'll tell you what, to me, when I look at this, this is one of those games where I think James Harden has a monster day. There's some props out there on him. He records a double-double minus 130. Mike, I think this is an absolute play on. Look at his stats over the last 17, 18 games. I think all but one game he's at a double-double. Triple-double is plus $4. He scores 30 points, even money. Scores 40-plus is plus 325. And scores 50 or more, 11-1. And he records 10 assists plus 140. Makes 5 3-pointers plus 160. All those odds courtesy via BetMGM. I'm telling you right now, this double-double number is an automatic play. Minus 130. If you look at what James Harden's been able to do over the last, as I mentioned, 15, 20 games, it's unbelievable in terms of his statistics. I think this is one where you have to take him here on the double-double.
I think he'll get his minutes tonight. They're not going to have him on the bench too much playing his former team.
No, and I'll tell you one thing. Make no mistake about it. This is a game he's going to be fired up for. I like him to get over 30 points, despite the fact that he's been passing the ball a lot more here in with Brooklyn. I think he's going to have a monster game. If you look at his last five games, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 9.8 assists, and from the three-point arc, 4.2 field goals.
He's certainly been impressive in making his case for MVP.
Would you lay the 9.5 here?
You're playing the best team in the East, and against all other competition, the last 12, you're losing by 20. It would seem to be you would lay that number, right? They're losing by 20 a game.
Yeah, I mean, this team is absolutely, it seems like to me they're going to get smoked.
Yeah, it seems like the number might be a little short. The Chicago Bulls travel to New Orleans to face the Pelicans tonight. And on February 10th, these two teams met in Chicago with the Bulls coming away a 13-point victory, 129-116. The Pelicans now favored tonight in this matchup by 5.5. See a high total here, as in all New Orleans games, 238.5.
Yeah, this New Orleans team, defense is optional every night out for them. It's going to be an interesting spot here against this Bulls team. It's funny, it seems like every game the Bulls are catching between 4 to 7 points. I would look towards potentially this game getting over the total. We see it at 237.5, but I don't have an interest in terms of laying 5.5, but I also don't want to take the Bulls in 5.5 in this spot, Mike.
Okay. Here's a game where I question the line. I questioned the last two lines, but I figured LeBron was out in the Lakers game. The Warriors are going to take on the Portland Trailblazers tonight. This will be the third time these two teams have met. They played a pair of games in January at Golden State, with Portland coming away with the victory, 137-122 in the first matchup, and then the Warriors coming away, and then in the return, 123-98 Blazers. So two blowout victories on opposite ends of it. Nurkic still out, McCollum still out. Draymond listed as day-to-day, and we see the Warriors as a road favorite here tonight in Portland.
Yeah, I don't like them being a road favorite here in Portland. I think you have to look at the home team here. I think the Blazers have a great opportunity in this spot. I think they should be able to get the cover in this matchup when you look at it. You mentioned it. I just don't think this Portland team has gotten enough credit because of the injuries, but they've been so dangerous. Just catching a point and a half here, but again, total 233.5. No opinion on that one. But, Mike, I don't know when people are going to start to realize. I know Portland has struggled the last several games, but overall, to me, this is still a good basketball team. They won their last game, but they lost three in a row previous to that. Dame time, He's going to show out. He always plays well against this, excuse me, against this Golden State team.
I would think that this, and I don't have a strong opinion here, but I'm surprised that Golden State's favorite here. I would think Portland would be 1-1.5.
I tend to agree with you. I think this is, again, one of those scenarios where you look at it and say potentially. Now, look, I'm not as adamant in this matchup where I was with the Spurs and Knicks, where it, to me, where the Knicks should not have been the favorite. I don't have as much of an issue here with Golden State being the favorite, but I don't really think this is the right move in terms of the line.
And then we go to Sacramento, where a team who's lost six games in a row is favored by 4 points over the defending NBA champion. Oh, but by the way, no LeBron, no AD, no Kyle Kuzma, no Gasol. Kings also without Metu, Halliburton, Parker, and Whiteside. Two walking wounded teams here. Down to three now. Game open 4, seeing some Lakers money plus 3, and a total of 223.5 here, Mo.
And Buddy Hield's going to be questionable in this one. I think it's important if Hield can go or not, because obviously his ability to shoot the three-point shot. But this is one, to me, where Sacramento should be able to win. Remember, the Lakers played last night against Phoenix. Now you turn around, you get Sacramento, and regardless of who's in the lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers, the name still says Lakers on the jersey. You're going to get a great effort out of Sacramento. Good opportunity for them to kind of get back on track here against a division opponent. I like the Sacramento Kings here covering the 3 points in this matchup, Mike.
Yeah, I have to stay away from the game because the Kings have played so poorly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even without LeBron, it's just a stay away from me.
You know, I get where you're coming from, but overall, I still think, you know, certain spots in the NBA take some shots with some teams, and I think this is a perfect example with the Sacramento Kings in terms of just laying a short number at home against a team that you really always want to beat, in-state rival there, so we'll see if they can get it done. When we come back on the other side, Mike gave you a terrific hockey play last night, first period under between the Islanders and Devils. We'll see what he's got on tap today. Less is more. Indeed's Instant Match instantly searches its database of millions of resumes, delivering candidates who best fit your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. Mike, let's go to the National Hockey League. You had a terrific call on that Islanders-Devils game under. Through the second period, the game was under 1.5.
I rebet it.
Yeah.
We laid 120 in the first period under 1.5, and I said if I can get plus 110 in the second period, because there were very few scoring chances, I'm going to bet it again. It was plus 120. So we came back with it, and the good thing is never a goal early, so you don't have to hedge off it. You could just let it ride and get the full victory.
It was a comfortable one there, again, staying under these totals. Real opportunities. You always talk about that first period, and it was one that presented itself. Let's go to a game. Should be an interesting matchup tonight in Boston between the Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins. This Bees team has been terrific at home. This Capitals team has now gotten better defensively. They're doing a better job, but can they do this well on the road here tonight in Boston?
Yeah, Boston's playing really well.
Yeah.
I really like Boston right now. I was wrong. I thought to fade this team early because they were too one-line dependent, but they're not. And I think this, you know, is probably a play here. I thought we were going to get Samsonov. We are going to get Vanecek. This rookie, he's playing almost every game now. I mean, what did he play, 12 in a row? He set some sort of rookie record for that franchise. And then you get Rask tonight as well. So I would lean Boston here.
Yeah, to me, you look at this Bees play, only minus 150 at home. When you look at what they've been able to do overall, Washington 5-4 on the road. Boston now, I know they have had a couple of losses of late, but still 5-1. Overall, in terms of their home record, has been outstanding. I like them in this particular spot. Total of 6 flat in this matchup, if you like that, in terms of the total. Maple Leafs at the Oilers. I know you're high on Toronto. Also, yesterday, Banksy said he was high on Toronto as well in this matchup. Now, there are the road favorite against the Edmonton Oilers, minus 129, plus 112 on Edmonton. Total of 6.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, they play very well. And you get Freddie Anderson back tonight now, too. So
hold on. You get Mike Smith, though. Your guy.
Yeah. So here, this is my play. Here's in the playbook here. I'm going go under in the first period. What do you think the number under 1.5? I guess you give it away, but I got a very good number at William Hill.
No, I just saw it on the board here.
That's not anything close to the number, I bet.
What did you get?
Plus 150 under 1.5 in the first
I assume
period.
That because when you look at these two teams, mm-hmm. you think about this, the players on these lineups, you're yeah. obviously going to be looking and saying, hey, these guys can score some goals flat out. I mean, Matthews, whether it's Tavares, you look at obviously Draisaitl and, of course, not just McDavid, but Nugent Hopkins as well. These teams are very dangerous offensively. So you got plus 150
yes.
under
yes.
1.5.
You see in a lot of these Toronto games at William Hill, they post twos.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do that in this matchup.
Right. So I'm going to take a shot with the 1.5. They just shut out Edmonton on Monday night. And you get Anderson back. And, I mean, Anderson's been very good, 2.69. Mike Smith 6-1 with a goals against 1.89. I think the bounce back here for Edmonton. I think this will be a very low scoring game. I wouldn't mind looking under 6.5 as well.
Yeah, my only problem with Freddie Anderson, the way you talk about him, you act like he's Dominic Hasek.
Oh, I don't act like that. I mean, I've watched him play. I watched, but he's playing better this year, and we said they'd need him.
He can't play any worse than he did last year. I mean, it was four goals a night.
He could play Martin Jones. He could be.
Well, Martin Jones, in his defense, nobody in front of him is playing.
Well, that's true. But Martin Jones couldn't stop a beach ball 2 years ago when they were decent.
That's fair.
Look, Anderson's played better. I've watched Anderson a lot, right? I watched him. He was the number one here in Anaheim for a while, and then they had to get rid of him and go with Gibson. So I'm very familiar with Freddie Anderson.
Well, let's go to a couple of games very quickly. Blues and Ducks. This matchup's going to have Binnington against Gibson. Yeah. Blues, no surprise here, the road favorite in this matchup, Mike. To me, this is a St. Louis team. I'm not sure if I'm exactly confident in terms of where they are, but I still think they're going to be dangerous because they have the goaltending. Right now, minus 159, plus 138 on the Ducks in this matchup, total of 5.5.
And it's a rematch, same game from the Duck Pond the other night, with the Blues took control in the second period. But I still don't like to lay 160 with this team. Remember, this is a one-day rest situation. They're only 2-6 with one day rest.
It's a good point you bring up there. Another interesting matchup, a rematch from 2 nights ago. The Minnesota Wild lost in overtime against the Vegas Golden Knights here in Vegas in overtime. They gave up a goal with 18 seconds remaining, ends up getting the Knights a guaranteed point, and then overtime the Knights get the second point in that matchup, Mike. So for me here, when I look at this one, you've got Andre Fleury and Cam Talbot. I expect this to be a much more defensive game. I'm surprised that I moved this number up to 6. I like this one under 5.5 here at minus 08.
I think Minnesota's going to be very sore tonight over what happened, the blow of that game the other night. I mean, I think you're going to get a real good effort out of Minnesota tonight. I look at this Minnesota team as maybe the play here. Strange, strange game. I mean, no scoring opportunities really in the first period. They're 8 minutes into the second period. The game is still 0-0, Amal, and they get six goals in 12 minutes, 4 by Minnesota and 2 by the Knights. And as Banks said, the Knights rallied with the late goal, and then they get the 2 points in overtime. But I'd lean Minnesota at plus 1, even though you can get much better numbers with visiting teams here. I think the public understands this. The bookmakers understand. Minnesota's going to be focused and nasty off that loss.
I like them, the opportunity to bounce back here, plus 125. If you like the Wild in this matchup against the Vegas Golden Knights, should be a very intriguing game. When we come back on the other side, we'll get you an update of what's going on right now in an A-10 game in action. Unfortunately, it's only going to be your last second half opportunity to bet against Fordham. We'll discuss that when we come back. Also, we'll get into the ACC and the A-10.
March. It's madness. Put them together and we here at VSiN get a cease and desist letter from the NCAA. But you get unlimited betting opportunities for the next month. Now is the time to sign up for your free trial of VSiN to put our experts to work for you. We have the most betting coverage of college hoops anywhere, including conference tournaments, live selection Sunday coverage, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and everything you need to be ready for betting on the tournament. Sign up for your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back here on the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Amal Shaw. Amal, any A-10 tournament update here?
Yeah, right now, let's go. As a matter of fact, game in progress between Fordham and George Washington. This one taking place in Richmond. This is on the campus at Richmond, the Richmond Spiders. Because remember, there's going to be games also held at VCU, so pay attention to that. The final of the A-10 will be in Dayton on March 14th. But right now, it's GW leading against Fordham, 27-22, 3:21 to go in the first half. And Mike, the reason why I bring this game up, you've got two teams with a combined 6 wins on the year. And I said, this is your last chance of the year to bet against Fordham. This is a team that has struggled all year long. A first time around, GW beat them by 24 points, or a revenge spot here. Line has been hovering between 6.5 and 7 all day.
Amal, you've been in the history of the show here, the short history, 5.5 weeks, have given out several A-10 plays, and we've talked about the A-10. I even had an A-10 play one time. Let's take a look at this tournament. A 14-team league. We're eliminating two teams today to get down to that 12. And then to get to that double bye, the top four, and then the 5 through 8 have to play these teams.
Yeah, quickly, one update. In case you were looking at LaSalle 300-1, they're gone.
Okay. It's over.
It's over.
Let's see how the other teams odds change. All right. Obviously, at the top of this league, St. Bonaventure's and VCU clearly have sort of separated themselves, but there's some dangerous teams as well. We've seen Davidson and Dayton have the ability to pull upsets, and you've talked about this St. Louis team as well.
Well, you know, here's my problem with the Billikens. They haven't played a ton of games this year. You look at them, they had a tremendous COVID interruption in January. This team has been a little bit inconsistent because of the, obviously, the health protocols. But they've been terrific in St. Louis at 12-1 this year. My concern is now you're going to have to go into Richmond on the road. They're going to have to win the tournament to be able to get into the NCAA tournament. I think Travis Ford's team is dangerous enough and good enough to be able to do that, Mike. We saw that they were competitive against VCU earlier this year. I still think when all's said and done in terms of this tournament, I think St. Bonaventure is going to win this tournament. I think they're the best team in this league. They're currently at 3-1. I give VCU one edge, though, because the games are in Richmond, where St. Bonnie's, the final, remember, will be in Dayton. But up until that point, for VCU and Richmond, they're going to be playing on opposite courts, but they're still going to be in their home cities.
Are you surprised that Jamie Foxx makes St. Louis the co-favorite here?
Jamie
Plus
Foxx.
250. Bet MGM.
Oh.
Plus 250.
I am a little bit. You know what the problem is? This is interesting. I'm glad you brought this up. I think a lot of bookmakers are steadfast in their position, and sometimes they don't want to acknowledge that certain teams are good. Maybe they're not as good as you think. It just depends. I don't think it's an overwhelming situation when Alabama loses a football game and they're still going to win the national championship. I think it's a scenario here where St. Louis has been solid at home. I just don't know if they've played enough games, and maybe that helps them out. I still think St. Bonaventure has been the more complete basketball team, and VCU is a very solid team. Got to check the status of Highlands. Remember, he went out in that game against GMU. He is their leading scorer. They're going to need him in the lineup if they're going to make a run.
If I was betting the A-10 right now, I'd take two tickets. I'd take St. Bonaventure at 3-1, and I'd take a little shot at Dayton at 12-1.
I agree with you. Crutcher's dangerous. The only problem I have with this team right now is they just shoot the ball too much from the three-point arc, about 40% of their shots from the three-point line.
Let's turn our attention to another Atlantic Conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC.
I haven't heard it called that in forever.
Obviously, they still have some regular season games to play, but always one of the top tournaments people look forward to every year. And a little bit different this year, where you might see the Florida State team be the best team here. It's rare that somebody outside of North Carolina or Virginia, as recently, has dominated this league. Florida State's played very well this year, and we see it reflected in the odds at DraftKings. They're plus 240.
Well, I think, look, Florida State rightfully should be right there. Virginia, I think North Carolina could be dangerous in this one. That's the one thing you always have to be concerned with when you look at Carolina. They're just a team that can really challenge you because of their size on the boards. I'm not as high on Louisville at 5-1. Virginia Tech will defend. And Clemson, nobody's talking about Clemson, Mike, right now. But Brad Brunell's team has won 5 in a row. They go to the Dome tonight. They'll take on Syracuse early start time at 5 o'clock Eastern. They're catching 2 on the road. To me, I think they're pretty dangerous. I'm not buying Duke. Pittsburgh, remember, they had a couple of guys that have gotten into the transfer portal. If you want a real long shot, Syracuse at 50-1, because I still think they have enough talent. You're shaking your head on them.
Well, if I would take a long shot, I'd take Georgia Tech here. I think this team is talented enough and they can score enough. I thought it was a good win over Duke last night in a game Duke needed.
Oh, yeah, no question. Duke needed that game for sure.
I'm not high on Pastner. We all know that. But this Georgia Tech team, the back half of the year, has played well. Clemson, here's what I question. How good are they outside of Little John? They defend like Hackett Little John. It's a different team on the road. We'll see tonight when they go to Syracuse.
It's funny you brought that up because I was thinking about a revenge spot here for the Cuse, and I thought this should be a play on Syracuse. But my concern is Clemson plays defense, and that's the key when you play a team like Syracuse. If you can defend them on the perimeter, they're about 34% from downtown. If these guys can slow them down on the outside, I think they got a chance. I still think it's going to be Florida State and Virginia in this league, though.
I do, too, and I remember the game in Tallahassee where they absolutely dismantled Virginia, beating them by 20 in the first half.
That might have been the most complete half of basketball any team has played all year. To what they did to Virginia. I know Gonzaga put up 100 on Virginia, but I thought it was a game in which Virginia was going in the right direction, and Florida State completely dismantled them.
They had 9 different Seminoles hit a 3 that night against Virginia.
That's impressive. That's the thing that I think that makes this team so good. You have so many different guys, and then you've got a go-to guy in Scotty Barnes when you need to close out a game down the stretch. I think Virginia's going to be tough, but they're going to have to obviously continue to knock down shots. Their low-scoring style keeps more teams in games than probably teams of their caliber allow other teams to hang around.
I've talked about North Carolina. I think they have a tremendous upside. I was disappointed they went to Syracuse. They rallied. You know, they were down 10 and lost by 2. They were down 10 with a minute to go and lost by 2. So the game really wasn't as close as it. I thought that they would use that lift off that second half against Florida State. North Carolina is a team. Could they win 4 in a row? Yes. Could they get knocked out in the first round? Easily.
I would agree with that assessment. Mm-hmm. The one concern I have with Carolina, we saw it against Syracuse, was their inability to shoot the ball consistently from the perimeter. They're going to have to be better. They're going to have to get hot if they're going to have a chance to make a run in this tournament. You know, we didn't talk about Virginia Tech or Louisville too much. Look, Chris Mack's team, they had the COVID issue. They played well at home. They got the quality win on the road. Anytime you win at Cameron, it's always a good win. I think Virginia Tech, because they defend, but I just don't think they're consistent enough.
Yeah, I'm not high on either team, especially Louisville lost by 40 to North Carolina. I mean, who loses by 40 to that team? I'd like Carolina, but I need like 8-1 to bet them. 5-1 is too short. They shouldn't be the third choice. They're probably going to be the 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at this league right now, and I'll tell you, when you get outside of Florida State and Virginia, this is a down year in the ACC. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to lose my marbles if an ACC team somehow beats the Big Ten once again in the national championship.
It's happened too many times, Amar.
North Carolina, Michigan State, Illinois, North Carolina, Michigan, North Carolina. I mean, there's a Duke, Wisconsin. There's so many of them. It's just over and over and over. It's constant.
Yeah, Louisville, Michigan.
So, all right, right now putting you on the spot, one team, ACC.
Florida State's the best team in the league.
I mean, I can't argue that. I think you're absolutely right. I think Virginia is going to be dangerous. I think Florida State, even at plus 240, because when you look at the rest of the back half of this league, it's not particularly strong. When we come back, Mike Palm gave you an easy winner last night. Let's see what he's got on tap. Is it going to be hockey, soccer, basketball? That's next when the Nuts continues. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com. In New Jersey, must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 800-522-4700. Michigan, 800-270-7117. Virginia, 888-532-3500. Not valid in your home state of Iowa.
No, it's not.
Let's get into the playbook. Last night, you had a couple of easy winners in soccer and, of course, in the hockey game. The soccer game, I remember I looked at the score and I was like, hey, this one's a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah, it finished 1-0. Another formula play today with QPR here, who we've used a couple of times. A favorite of 120 or worse in a three-way and a 2.5. We laid the 30 cents. Leafs Oilers, I just couldn't pass up on this price. This might move to 2 this first period. And if it does, you're probably going to lay 125 on the under. I just think you get Anderson back. They shut out the Oilers the other night. And Mike Smith is the key to me. I mean, I think he's playing a lot better than Koskinen, and he's 6-1. So I'll take a shot. Remember, You get in game. I play these where you can get an in game on the period total. So at plus 150, you get 6 minutes into the game, it's going to be plus 150 the other way. And if you want to hedge off and lock up a winner, you can. So you really need 6 minutes without a score. It's almost a bet on no goal in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it really is. And I like that option that you present there. I think that's something important to keep in mind. In so many different sports, you know, whether it be tennis, basketball, whatever, there's options in terms of hedging off on the other side to ensure yourself a profit. In the all-in segment here today, I have one play, St. John's taking on in this matchup. They're going to be against Providence. It's a revenge game for the Providence Friars here, but I just don't think this team has been consistent. Ed Cooley's team has just really struggled at times throughout the course of the year. The Johnnies need this game. I think they bounce back. My one concern is Posh Alexander, second leading scorer for the Johnnies, questionable in this game. Overall, though, I think still won't matter. Carnesecca, St. John's wins this game. I like lane 1.5 here.
I like you get these games a little bit, it's not a small school, but a little bit off the beaten path here that you come up with these games. I think you do very well, just like Central Florida last night. It was a great play.
Well, you hung on, but yeah.
I mean, they were way out in front.
Well, you know, the South Carolina game was a dead loser at halftime, but, so, you know, same thing, though. You look at Tulsa and UCF. UCF's up 16 at halftime at home. You don't think you're going to be in much trouble. They had to knock down some free throws down the stretch, did a terrific job of that. But the best part was when Tulsa inbounded the ball with about 3 seconds remaining, I could tell the player for Tulsa didn't take Tulsa plus the points because he wasn't rushing down the floor to make that shot. And he just threw up a half-court shot, and you could see it was not going in.
Yeah, but a good win for you nonetheless.
Yeah, no, you know, listen, you got to take some breaks along the way. I tell you, last night was a tough beat if you had West Virginia plus 4, 4.5. The Baylor Bears get the cover of 5, but you felt like if somebody got a lead in the last minute and they were up 2 to 3 points, it could turn into a free throw shooting contest.
I thought it would, but they played so close and they kept it to one possession there. I played the end game overs a couple times during the game because I thought either it's going to get to 5 and you're going to get fouling or we're going to go to overtime. The game just flew. It flew over every total you could have bet during the course of the game.
Yeah, let's give an update real quickly right now. Let's start in soccer and preview a game. Burnley and Leicester City are currently in the 91st minute. They have 2 minutes of stoppage time showing. Remember, it was 1-1 at the break. Yeah. Neither team was able to get on the score sheet here in the second half. So, Mike, was this a 2.5?
This was a 2.5. And even when we got the early goal, it still was stayed at 2.5. You could have never got 3.5 that I saw.
Yeah, to me, this is a situation where it was funny. You weren't in the studio yet, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you know, this could get to 4. I decided not to touch it, but this thing looks like we're going to wind it with both sides getting a point here.
Yeah, Burnley is so different at Turf Moor.
Yeah.
You know, they went to Hotspur Stadium and got run out of there. I mean, they just couldn't stop scoring Tottenham on Sunday.
By the way, I don't know if you're at liberty to discuss this or not. Has Tottenham entered witness protection? I haven't heard a thing about you since you said Manchester City came in there, they took care of business, and Tottenham is absolutely off the map.
You know, how about if you had an under in the Manchester City game yesterday? The game is 1-1 in the 86th minute.
I didn't realize that. Is that what?
It was 1-1 in the 86th.
I saw the final.
They scored 3 goals, 86, 90, and on the last kick of the game. Which, by the way, the last kick of the game in the 93rd minute was ruled offside on, and after the game, they waited to VAR to say, no, he wasn't, and they counted the goal.
Wow, that's interesting.
I know somebody that had under 3, 3.5, 4, and 4.5.
Oh, wow.
You got to be sick. 1-1 in the 86th minute. But they kept the win streak alive.
There's no question. I mean, this is the best club in Europe. I still like their odds to be able to win the Champions League, probably around 2, 2.5 to 1, depending on where you're getting the number. I know that people like Bayern Munchen, but to me, I still think they're the better squad, the more complete squad. They have just been dominant this year. You know, everybody, all the talk was of Liverpool coming into the season, and it was justified, but right now, Man City has been unbelievable. Quick update right now, Sheffield leading at home against Aston Villa. They are in the 94th minute. Obviously, in this matchup, Sheffield is going to win this one. It appears to be the case, but they have been dealing with a red card this matchup, so we'll see if they can hold on for the win. Just seconds remaining in that matchup. Crystal Palace and Manchester United today, Mike. This one is going to be on the road for Manchester United at Selhurst Park. CP has been inconsistent this year.
Yeah, up and down. They go through droughts where they don't score. I just don't want – I'm not interested in laying the goal and a half here. And it's tough to play Crystal Palace under because this could be 3-0. This could be 4. You know, there could be a lot of goals in this game.
By the way, real quickly, I mentioned Manchester United. Think about this, right? Playing terrific. Obviously, you're ahead of Liverpool in the standings. Liverpool's been the rage the last couple of years, winning the Champions League, winning the Premier League itself. Manchester United bouncing back, having a terrific season. And you look up in the standings, and that team right across the way at the Etihad is ahead of you, and you got no shot of catching them.
No shot. It's over.
It's over.
It's a long-distance phone call.
It's exactly right. Speaking of which, let's go to teams that could potentially chase down a team ahead of everybody in terms of the odds. The Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference are currently the odds-on favorite to win the West, Mike. But there's a couple of teams. I know Doyle was on with us earlier this week, Tim Doyle. He said he likes the Phoenix Suns. He's got a ticket on the Utah Jazz. Lakers at plus 120. The Clippers at plus 250. The Jazz at 4-1. Is this Stan Kroenke forcing the Nuggets down our throat at 12-1? What is going on here? The Suns at 18-1.
You know, I didn't like the Clippers. Another road loss last night to Boston. I thought the Clippers were in a good spot to win that game going into it, and they lost again with the full complement. Which ticket do you like that Doyle has better? Do you like the Jazz ticket or the Suns ticket?
Oh,
better?
Jazz by far.
Yeah.
It's not even close to my mind. I get the Suns won last night, but let's get down to the brass tacks. When it comes down to it, I think Utah's got a much better chance. They're a much more complete basketball team. We know how well they play in Salt Lake. You mentioned the Clippers. I want to throw some stats at you that our producer Jacob gave us. Last two fourth quarters for Paul George, 7 points, 3 for 19, 1 for 11 for downtown, and he's shooting 25% in the clutch this season.
That's the guy that you said is not Mr. Clutch, right? You pointed that out. We got some stats to back you up.
Hey, listen, you don't have to dominate just because you dominate in the San Joaquin Valley doesn't mean you're going to become a superstar and you play well in Indiana. Look, I think he's a very good player. He's paid like an elite-level player. I just don't think he's elite. I think he's probably a top 30 player. You know, look, he can defend. He can do a lot of different things, but you got to be a closer. And that's what makes Damian Lillard, to me, the best closer in the NBA, his ability in clutch moments.
I've been surprised by how much of a difference CP3 has made on this team in Phoenix. Now, look, they get the lead last night. The Lakers rally a little bit at the end of the third, cut it down to 3 points, and you think, you know, a team will wilt. They're not used to it. Phoenix traditionally losing. They get in these fourth quarters, and he's so calm. He's so good distributing. He'll step up and make the shot when you need him to. I think they're just a different team.
I don't disagree with you. He brings a level of leadership and experience. And remember, he is the players' union rep, so a lot of players have a certain comfort level with him even before he came to Phoenix. I think it's made a difference in this team. Let's go to the Eastern Conference. Obviously, everyone's looking at the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant still dealing with that hamstring issue for the Brooklyn side. But James Harden has had a resurgence here. Right now, the Nets are plus 140. You have the Bucks at plus $3, the 76ers plus 5.5. Celtics 10-1, Heat 12-1. I'm going to throw in the Raptors there at 16-1 just simply because of what they've been able to do the last few years. But to me, I think the Nets, what about Milwaukee for you? Do you write them off? Or I'm just surprised that they're this far ahead of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'd rather take Philadelphia at plus 550. I think, remember, that Tobias Harris is big to them, be missing for them, I think. I think he's the key to that team being, I hate to say superstar, but a third star.
Well, I tell you what, I think you're a superstar. You represent Nate Oates. You represent Tobias Harris. Anybody else you want to tell us in the league that you're representing?
No. I'm just told you. I think the kid's playing very well.
I can't back the SEC guys that much. But I agree with you. I think he's a terrific third player for them. I still don't get why Philadelphia is sitting at 5.5-1. I think they're a very dangerous team. And, you know, I hate to see any player go down by injury. But let's say the Nets or the Bucks were to lose a critical piece in that. Don't you think, I mean, that could happen to Philadelphia as well. But at 5.5-1, I think the value right now sits on Philadelphia.
Well, there's a little bit because of Embiid and his history with how else is he going to play? Is he going to sustain? Is he going to play in a 7-game series, all 7 games? So that may be baked into this number a little bit. I honestly like the 76ers better than the Bucks, straight up. I mean, I wouldn't take and especially at a shorter price, the Bucks. I don't want to take the Nets at 7-5 either. So the only thing I could bet here would be the 76ers.
Yeah, you know, you make an excellent point on the Nets. I just think they're a very good team, but I don't think they're not a shoo-in. This is not the Lakers circa 2000-2002. Let's go to the NBA Finals overall in terms of odds to win it. Lakers still the favorites in this one, but I think now you're starting to see some adjustments, Mike, simply because Anthony Davis, he's got an Achilles issue. Lakers are down to plus 250. Nets at plus 320. Clippers at 5-1. Bucks 7-1. Utah 8-1. And 76ers 12-1.
It's interesting because it's baked in that the West is going to be favored over the East in these numbers, right? The Western teams are shorter as you go through the top, the second, the third choice, and considerably shorter here. I'd rather bet the conferences right now. I think there's more value in betting the conferences. I mean, I'd rather bet, obviously, the 76ers at 5-1 than at 12-1. I don't know how good are the Lakers. Are they going to be healthy? If they're healthy, they're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they need Anthony Davis. I mean, we know how great LeBron is, but without AD, it makes a huge difference in this lineup. Look, I don't believe they can win the title without Anthony Davis. Would you agree with that?
I don't either. I don't think they make it to the Western Finals.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they get that far either. But to me, I think the Nets are still dangerous. I think this team's only going to get better. You know, for them, the regular season's going to be a tune-up. It's all about the postseason. I think they're so complete now with the way Harden is playing. Once you get Durant back in the lineup, they're going to be tough.
Big night ahead. Harden faces his former team in Houston. We get to see the Utah go into Philadelphia, see how good they are, and it's separation night in the Pac-12 as well.
You mentioned it. Listen, you got to take the Harden double-double minus 130. I think this is going to be one where he gets over, whether it be rebounds or assists, he finds a way. Coming up next is going to be Betting Across America. That's going to do it for us here on The Nuts.